Hot. KFAN at the Combine continues, courtesy of Whiting Clinic, LASIK, and Eye Care. It's PA in charge. Feasting now with former National Football League quarterback and current a radio star for Sirius NFL Radio, Brady Quinn, joins us here adjacent to Lucas Oil Stadium at Radio Row at the 2017 Combine. When you were at Notre Dame, was there ever a time that you just became overwhelmed by the hairy nature of John Sullivan's back?
that happened before the season even started my
really?
Freshman year.
Yeah. Was it super hairy then?
No, but here's how this all
had
worked out
be.
With John Sullivan.
Yeah.
He gets on the bus at the U.S. Army All-American game, and he hadn't decided where he was going yet.
Yeah.
But he taps him in the shoulder. He goes, "Hey, I'm going to be your center for the next 4 years."
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of look at him and say, all right.
Yeah, sure, kid.
Well, at that point, then I realized the hairiness that I was going to be dealing with for the next 4 years. So I was very curious to see if he was actually going to hold his commitment or if he was going to flip at the last minute.
Right.
But, you know, Sully's great. He's a hairy bastard, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and you being the quarterback, him being your center, there would be times during Fighting Irish games where, like, the jersey would come up a little bit above the pants.
Way too much.
And it'd be a big third down spot in the fourth quarter, and, like, the hair's all matted and wet.
That was not the biggest concern that I had, though, with John Sullivan's
really?
Center, okay? What that man ate before a game or a couple of days before the game.
That's brilliant.
Yes, that was more of my concern, and I kind of had some control over it. We found this old Italian spot on the south side of South Bend, and I'd take them because they had like an all-you-can-eat, right? So I'd try to take all the linemen on Thursday night to this all-you-can-eat.
Yeah.
So at least I knew, I was like, all right, they're getting some good family Italian food. It's
right.
Not going to be like Mexican or something like
right.
that.
Yeah,
it
could
be really explosive
brilliant.
Game time.
Yeah. The worst thing can happen is that it's the middle of the third quarter, and you're consumed with whatever John ate 2 days ago.
Yeah.
That's not where you want your mind to be.
Here's the worst situation you could possibly be in. Either on like a, you know, third and goal on the inch line, right, at the goal line, or like
right.
a third and short scenario where you're going to probably do a quarterback sneak. Because not only are you one right up behind all of that, you're probably in a man pile.
Oh,
and you're
for
not
sure.
Getting
you're
up
not for a while.
While.
That's right.
So you,
yeah.
all these bodies have to be picked up off of you and all that. And that's really your biggest concern is that specific scenario.
Yeah. What do you remember about Dog Pound first game of season 2009? You play the Vikings. You're hosting the Vikings. You go 21 of 35 for 205. Had a TD and a pick. The Vikings won the game, and it was Brett Favre's debut.
That was really what I remember. Probably the most – well, two things that I remember in that game. First series – I dropped back. My read was what we call a PSL, right? Pre-snap look. One high worked left, two high worked right. I was working to the left, and I want to say it was Kevin Williams.
Yeah.
Absolutely de-cleated me. Like, I remember when I hit my fifth step, he was on me so fast, I was just like, thank God I held on to the football.
Oh, my God.
But, like, it was like my back was on the ground. I was trying to catch my breath, like, 15 seconds later. That was the first memory. And then Adrian Peterson's game that day was the second.
Yeah.
Because that was 270 yards, a couple touchdowns, something like that. He was unbelievable.
He trucked some hapless line or somebody right in the middle of the
field. It
was
multiple people. I don't know if it was someone.
Yeah. And then he had a sideline run.
Yep, threw Eric right to the side.
Yeah, that's right. He tossed Eric right
you're
like a rag doll.
You're thinking later in the season at Heinz Field what he did to William Gay.
No,
Either way, how are we not talking about the fact that there's a good chance he might not be back with
that?
The Vikings?
Right, yeah.
Within the next week and a half, he might be a free agent. Your thoughts?
I mean, he's going to be a guy that even though with his injury history and how old he is, I mean, someone's probably going to take the opportunity to sign him based on his skill set. I think we all know what he's capable of, and I think that's worth, you know, let's say ballpark $8 to $10 million.
But you got to make sure you don't chase ghosts, right? Specifically in free agency.
You think you're chasing a ghost in him?
I think most teams will look at it that way.
They might want to from an economical standpoint.
Yeah.
I just think once you see him, then you'll kind of say, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean. Maybe we'll feel differently. And again, I'm not saying this is going to be a 5-year run. Now, if he did that, that'd be remarkable. But he also was a guy who rushed for, you know, 2,000 yards, and he coming off an ACL tear. He had what,
like 1,500 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that was coming off injury. So you look at him. I think every time someone's doubted him, he's overcome that. And I'm not betting against him.
That's a great point.
Every combine, there's usually buzz around a player or two. You know, Johnny Manziel a couple of years ago, Teddy Bridgewater, and you know the arm strength.
There was actually buzz around Manziel.
I know, hard to believe, right? Your year, you were the buzz.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, this at the combine,
Brady Quinn
you were the talker. Tell me what it was like when you were at the combine as a you know as a you know a player that was about to be drafted.
Yeah, it was a little different back then, just because you know you didn't feel as much pressure to do the throwing workout. I had a pro day later that week.
Okay.
So you know everyone from Indy was going to be coming up, so there's no point of me throwing an orchestrated workout at the combine when I could throw to the guys I'm accustomed to at Notre Dame and they'll all be able to see it. I was actually dealing with a knee injury too, so I was trying to keep that under wraps. Mm. And that was another reason why I didn't work out. But, you know, the interview process, the testing and all that, you know, it's legit. You know, you want to be competitive. You're around a bunch of guys that you competed with and all that. And I think you're trying to do your best to put your first, you know, foot forward because, one, they're meaningful first impressions. But even more than that, I mean, if you think about it, you know, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet all of these different owners.
Right.
And they're all taking notes. Even if they're not going to draft you, they're all taking notes because at some point down the road, they may be eventually
interested
in bringing you in. So,
What was the pressure like for you? I mean, again, as the guy that I think was – you were the storyline of that season.
Yeah, I think it wasn't so much pressure. I think you were just more concerned with, like, you know, making sure that you knew your offense. You were trying to be as prepared as you could be. And it's hard preparing for the unknown. You know, when you prepare for a game, you understand the defenses you're going to see. You understand what to do in scenarios where maybe we hadn't seen something like that before. But you don't know some of the questions you're going to be answered. You know, whether you want to be you should be a cat or a dog or something ridiculous that sometimes teams ask.
To that point, I mean, you know, there were questions about you, like, psychologically or emotionally. But did teams still try to, you know, in the interviews?
Oh, yeah.
Did they still try to pick at you and, you know, like, tear apart your game and stuff
They would put on, you know, a game or a series that was a bad series or an interception or something and say, what was the thought process here? What'd you do here? You know? And then I think they were looking at, you know, for a lot of guys to make excuses. I mean, I wasn't one of those guys. I was just, hey, man, took a chance, dumb decision, regretted it. Don't worry, the next drive we actually drove down and scored. You know, you kind of just throw something right back at them. But, you know, that's how it works. I mean, again, they're trying to figure out all they can. They're going to make a multi-million-dollar investment in you, so you have to understand their due diligence is paramount. You know, when you're sitting when you have an opportunity like this.
So as it turns out, you know, a month later after the combine, you get drafted by the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you willing to say was that a disappointment at the time? I mean, you know, you have 32 teams, you could have kind of gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Some people thought you could go as early as, you know, the early first round. Some thought you could go almost anywhere in that first round.
Yeah. And you're Ohio native.
So, look, perfect scenario, if I would have been picked third instead of 22nd, that would have been a better scenario because they had the third pick and then they traded up to 22 to get me. But, again, to play for my childhood team, who, you know, I hoped one day to play in the NFL and hope to play for, you can't trade that for anything in the world. And regardless of the outcome, mm-hmm. you know, I still look upon the relationships that I built there favorably, the experience. I mean, you tend to learn a lot more from your failures and your losses than you do from wins and success.
Ain't no doubt.
And, you know, eventually football is going to end for me at some point. And I feel like I'm better prepared for what I'm doing now in broadcasting and then even other ventures of my life because of failures that are things that occurred throughout the course of my NFL career. And, you know, that's one way of looking at it. I mean, you can sulk and you'd be upset about it and be bitter about it, but I'm more of one who was always blessed just for the opportunity to play.
2013, you spent an offseason with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Did you, with Russell at that stage, could you tell what everybody saw at the Senior Bowl that, yes, he may be diminutive, and, yes, you're going to have to get around some things that may, from a perception standpoint, specifically his size, hold teams back? But he's a born leader. Could you feel that with him that offseason?
There were a ton of intangibles that you could feel. I mean, him and I were very close, you know. And we spent a lot of time talking football, talking X's and O's and all that. But it was the intangibles that you saw right away. And, you know, you're talking about size. I mean, maybe he's short in stature, but he's strong. I mean, especially his lower body base and the way he trains. I mean, there's no lack of anything besides maybe height, which, again, put him back in shotgun, you're kind of diminishing, you know, that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, to me personally, I mean, he's an incredible person. I think everything he does off the field translates to how he is a leader on the field.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, too. You get this whole picture of who he is, and it's legit. I think it seems so perfect and pristine that people think it's fake, but it is legit. I mean, I spent a lot of time around him. We were always racing each other so he would be the first one in and the first one to kind of turn on the film and all that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was one of those guys who you could tell he loves the game of football. But he also loves like what he can do with that to help people. That was pretty cool.
A couple of quickies to close from the combine with Brady Quinn, former NFL quarterback, current radio co-host with Sirius NFL Radio, works with Bruce Murray. 2013, also very eventful for you in that you got to know Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
And you worked closely with our quarterback, Sam Bradford, in St. Louis. Super accurate quarterback, you know, but in fairness to football conversation, Sam has heard for many years, if you protect Bradford, he can be a super big-time quarterback. That's what we feel now, but he just never gets protected.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part for not only Sam, but I think a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think even on the best offensive lines, let's say maybe 60% of the plays, you're probably going to be able to drop back in a clean pocket. 40% of the time nowadays, with as good as the athletes are across from you, you got to move. You got to figure out a way of moving in the pocket, scrambling, getting out there, doing all that. So that's going to be, you know, part of it. But I think for Sam, hopefully he gets that opportunity just to continue to be healthy. He's going to get hit. That's just part of the game. It's whether or not he can continue to stay healthy and continue to play at a high level. He had a fantastic season.
Yeah.
I was ecstatic for him because, you know, he's been waiting for that opportunity for a long time.
Last one for Brady Quinn.
You I don't want to call you well-traveled, but you got to see the inside of, I don't know, like six different teams.
Yeah.
Was there one of those organizations that really stuck out to you as being particularly well-run and just the way they did business was a better than the others? Like the Seattle, the Jets, there was the Dolphins.
Seattle and Denver. Those are the two that really stuck out. And then one, because I was traded to Denver, and immediately when I got there, it was, you know, a stark contrast between the expectations. I mean, when you walked in there, it's not even like the expectations of an owner or coaches and players. It's like the equipment guys, you know, Flip.
Wow.
It's Greek, their trainer. Like, their expectations are Super Bowls, too, and the way they handle themselves is like that. And I'm not saying it's not to put down any of their staff or anything else, but they've been there, they've done that. Mm-hmm. So it's not even like that's their goal. It's like, we know how to reach this goal. We've accomplished it before. You felt that it was a little bit different with Pete. I mean, Pete's just the most positive, optimistic human being. Him and John have such a good relationship.
Yeah.
And it just trickles down, I think, to the rest of the coaching staff, the energy that they have. You can tell, like, they've got something unique out there that they're able to kind of, you know, build off of in practice. I mean, I've never been in a more competitive situation in practice every single day. You feel like you're strapping up for a game. I mean, and that's cool. It's exciting to feel those highs that you get every single time you go out there and you're talking trash and you're trying to fit in throws you probably shouldn't try to on Richard Sherman. So it's fun.
I really enjoy you on the radio.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Congratulations
so
on the success. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Brady Quinn, former National Football League quarterback, current radio host on Sirius NFL Radio. We go back-to-back with coordinators when we